Harry Hudson,
we believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From Radio Beacon to Radio Beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe me.
Help is on the way.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
Earlier this morning in Altoona, Pennsylvania, members of the Altoona Police Department arrested Luigi Mangione, a 26-year-old male, on firearms charges. At this time, he is believed to be our person of interest in the brazen targeted murder of Brian Thompson, CEO of United Healthcare, last Wednesday in Midtown Manhattan. The suspect was in a McDonald's and was recognized by an employee who then called local police. Responding officers questioned the suspect, who was acting suspiciously and was carrying multiple fraudulent IDs as well as a U.S. passport. Upon further investigation, officers recovered a firearm on his person as well as a suppressor, both consistent with the weapon used in the murder. They also recovered clothing, including a mask, consistent with those worn by our wanted individual. Also recovered was a fraudulent New Jersey ID, matching the ID our suspect used to check into his New York City hostel before the shooting incident. Additionally, officers recovered a handwritten document that speaks to both his motivation and mindset.
Oh, it was fun while it lasted. I mean, Luigi Mangione, why do I have this sudden desire to hear a flugelhorn now? I don't know what. Oh, that's right, Chuck. Oh, is that is there a relation there? Is there? I don't know. I don't know if this is, a distant relative. You know, what's interesting is Chuck Mangione is from Rochester, New York, and I guess a lot of people don't know that. And here's this guy, Luigi Mangione, who, was in New York and killed the United Healthcare CEO. And, we thought he may have gotten away. We thought he may have. But they're saying, well, he's a person of interest. They're not saying this is it. This is him. We're ready to charge. They're not doing that. But, I mean, come on now. He had the gun. He had the suppressor. He had a face mask that matched the one that was in the video at the youth hostel. At the hostel, he had ID, fake ID, saying he was a Jersey boy. Remember that? When they caught him, he had that ID on him. I mean, wrong guy? Mistaken identity? I don't know. So anyway, he didn't get away with it. He didn't. And all the police that were interviewed this early morn, when they hadn't caught him over the weekend, they would say, oh, it's going to get really hard now. It's going to get really tough. You know what the tip was? I was a person at McDonald's. Yay. That's what you call a happy meal. You know what I'm saying? It's just unbelievable. But okay, he is a 26-year-old. His name is Luigi Mangione. He is a suspect in the CEO killing of the United Healthcare CEO guy. And I mean, the idea that people wanted him to get away with it is because the information that subsequently came to light about United Healthcare and their humongous 32% claim denial rate, which is almost as bad as a magic eight ball, okay? Just shaking it and going, will you cover this claim? Doesn't look good. Maybe yes, maybe no. Wait till tomorrow. Was very shocking to a lot of people in this country, and not so shocking to a lot of people in this country who had their claims denied. And they are furious, literally. And we were talking to each other, a lot of people out there saying, oh my God, and here's what you do, and here's what I did. Linda, I'll never forget Linda's phone call, because Jessica was fighting to get her mammogram covered, And Linda said, been there, done that. Here's what she does. She has to call the state and, the controller's office and make a claim and tell them that they're denying her, her diagnostic mammogram. She's got, I don't want to get into her healthcare specifics, but she needs the mammogram. Okay, so there you have it. But, here you have people of wealth, power, and privilege, literally, doing the same thing that they've done, almost persecuting, I don't want to say prosecuting, but persecuting the poor people of this country or the middle class of this country or the people who pay like heavy duty premiums. And it's like representing 10, 15, 20% of their income. And then another 20% is going for rent. And then they find out that they have absolutely no protection in the law, downshifting into what just happened in a courtroom in New York today. You, anybody remember Jordan Neely? Jordan Neely on the subway. Jordan Neely was a passenger on the subway who obviously was having issues with homelessness and mental illness and blackness. Yes, he was all three of those things. And that is becoming more and more and more problematic in America, especially in New York City, where the subways represent a place where really bad crap can happen to you. And it, you know, it goes through cycles, because I remember it was when I was going to school a bad place. Then it wasn't when I was going to school a bad place. Then it was when I was out of school and taking the subway all the way down from, you know, the first stop of the E train all the way down to the last stop of the E train when I worked at the World Trade Center. That's kind of what your ride is like. You know, you get on in Jamaica, Queens, and you don't get off until you're downtown Manhattan. That is a long ass ride to just sit there with your fingers crossed and hope nobody gets on the train that represents any sort of a freaking mental illness breakdown, right? Anyway, here you had Jordan Neely, who did get on the subway, and he was asking for food. Ooh, don't do that. Don't do that, people. Don't do that. Yeah, he was obviously in duress, let's just say. He was under duress. He was in a crisis moment. I don't know what his mental illness actually was, because we didn't spend any time on it. But the guy who actually interfered or intercepted, or however you care to look at it, his name is Daniel Penny. Daniel Penny's trial just ended. It was Daniel Penny on trial because he got up from, in the train car. He was a 26-year-old Marine, and he understood how to chokehold somebody. So he came from behind, and he applied that chokehold that is only, let's say, sanctioned for use for 15 seconds, maybe no more than that. And, it's banned in many, many police forces now because of George Floyd. Thank God. We learned a little something from Derek Chauvin's, arrogance, staring down into the camera like, I have every right to choke this guy out for 8 minutes. So Daniel Penny, who is a Marine, 26 years old, very young, he was on trial for using this chokehold against Mr. Neely, Jordan Neely. And we saw the video. I mean, I think everybody saw it that wanted to see it. So I'm not going to play it, because if you didn't see it by now, you didn't want to see it. And why would I do that to you? Because it's all done. The whole thing is done. And so last week when we were leaving, Daniel Penny's jury was hung, meaning they couldn't come to an agreement about whether or not he was, he was guilty of manslaughter. But there were other lesser charges, and so the judge told them, you know the Allen rule, right, where the judge says, just go back and do it again, just keep on deliberating something. And after 16 hours, I mean, I've seen juries go for days, man, days. 16 hours, the judge said, okay, I'll dismiss the manslaughter charge because the jury is hung, right? And then they came back, and then in like, I think 5 minutes or 6 hours, something like this, the jury agreed on criminally negligent homicide, and they agreed he's innocent. And they actually came back with a verdict of not guilty. And the court, this is the part that bothers me, okay? Because we didn't see all the evidence. And you know I really believe in seeing all the evidence and being part. And because these trials in New York are never on the TV, they're just not. You didn't hear But what I can tell you is, when the verdict was read, there was massive applause in the courtroom, which I think is so disrespectful to Jordan Neely's parents, to his father especially. And nobody, the judge didn't say anything. He didn't say be quiet. He didn't say you're out of line. He didn't say anything. And when Jordan Neely's father got up to say something, he kicked him out of the courtroom. That, for me, is unacceptable. But that's where we are.